having the real experiences beyond being called a Christian, you must understand how to function there. Christ is a place. So God wants a church that is in charge of the earth before he returns. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The day you got born again, you changed nationality. Yet you were sent as an officer. You were sent as an occupational troop to bring the government of that heavenly kingdom to build on the earth. But you see, when you know that, look, in the volume of the books is written of me, I came to do your will, O God, and then you begin to find your story. You count the cost, you run the race, you fight with faith. Go back to King James. Have I finished reading King James? He said, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Amplified, not Message. Amplified. Hallelujah. He says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. You know, one of the things I love about this verse of scripture is a revelation of our unique identities in him. That means we were not mass produced. Oh, no wonder no fingerprints are alike. Listen, we were not mass produced. Everybody was created and crafted carefully and as a masterpiece. He says, where his carefully crafted handiwork, a translation says, his own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand. You are not an accident. You are not an afterthought. And that should mean something to you. You should derive your sense of value and identity from this reality. That you were planned for, you were created, designed for a purpose. Now, why is this important? He said, for us taking part, let's just finish reading before I say what I want to say. Planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. A path is a course. He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life. Oh, hallelujah. Which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. That means the plan for the good life is not you that designed it. God designed that you live the good life before you showed up. So trying to make your own plans of the good life is a waste of time. Find his path and walk in it. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this? It's a path which he prepared ahead of time, preplanned. Oh, a dear man of God once said, he says, when I figured that God was more ambitious for me than I could ever be, I gave up. He's more ambitious for you than he could ever be for yourself. Hallelujah. So, if you are his design, his workmanship, that means there's a purpose, and he reveals it. So this is why we say purpose determines design. No manufacturer designs a product without having an intent. None. There's an end in mind. I read a book in SS2 that changed my life forever, and that was Understanding Your Potential by Dr. Mans Murrow. Oh dear Lord, I can never forget it. Understanding your potential. And then he journeyed into talking about purpose, and my eyes opened. That look, it has nothing to do with trying to make things happen. It has everything to do with knowing what you were designed for and living your design. We call it living by design. Glory to God. Is somebody with me? This teaching will revolutionize someone's life forever in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Alright, so the first step to living your story is an encounter with the person of Jesus. meeting your maker. That's the first step. And really, that's what Christianity is. We shared this on Friday for total immersion. That Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not a philosophy. Christianity is not a code of conduct. Christianity is a revelation of a person, a relationship with that person, and an attempt to represent that person. That's what Christianity is. The three R's. How many of you remember that? So it says a revelation of a person, a relationship with a person. That's an encounter. Listen to me. A man's story begins on the earth when he meets Jesus. That means everything he did before then amounts to nothing. That's just an attempt to live a personal life. A product will never know what it's designed to do outside the information of the manufacturer. Is that true? So that is the beginning of a man's journey. Meeting with Jesus, having an encounter with the living Logos, having an encounter with the person of Jesus, having a revelation and a relationship with the person of Jesus. This is where our story starts. This is where the true story that God intends to tell with your life begins. Hallelujah. So if you hear you're not born again yet, that is where to start. It is impossible to live a story worth telling without being born again. It's impossible. It's impossible. That is living another script. Maybe living the script designed by the systems of the world, living the script designed by society, living the script designed by culture, by popular culture, what we call pop culture, living the script designed by maybe the prince of this world or the powers of darkness. You may be living another script, but not the script that was prepared by God before you showed up. So the beginning is that encounter, that revelation of Jesus and relationship with the Lord. And in fact, it continues still with revelation of Jesus and relationship with him and representing him. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Are you blessed? It's amazing. Are you aware? You know, earlier I was talking about surviving, be living like an animal. Meaning when you are living for food to eat, car to drive, house to live in, living for basic physiologic needs. Are you aware that even psychologists testify to that? Yes. That man is motivated inherently, or should be motivated inherently, beyond physiological needs. Are you here? In fact, beyond psychological needs. You know, in the 1940s, I believe it was 1943 precisely, there was a publication by a psychologist called Abraham Maslow. I mean, if I've heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs or Maslow's pyramid. Amen. Abraham Maslow, he was a developmental psychologist, I believe, who proposed a theory of human motivation, so to say. And from there, we got what we call Maslow's hierarchy of needs, Maslow's pyramid. And he said that down in that pyramid is physiological needs. It's just way down in the pyramid. But that man's pursuit should be greater than that. What satisfies man? All man's needs are greater than physiological needs. He talked about basic physiologic needs. Then he moved to talking about safety, protection and security. Then he moved to talk about the need to be loved and accepted. That's the third level. That becomes psychological now. Then he goes to the fourth one and he talked about the need for esteem. And then the apex of the pyramid talks about self-actualization. Self-actualization. Now, this is from observation and deep thought by psychologists. But that's in the Bible all the while. A man's life consists not of the abundance of the things which he possesses. That means there is more to life than meeting physiological needs. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Living a story worth telling. There is a satisfaction. There is a fulfillment. They call it self-actualization. That sense of, look, I have lived, or I'm living the life that I should live. If it's not there, there will remain a void on your inside. There will remain an emptiness, a frustration that money cannot cover, that a good job cannot cover, that a good husband, a good wife cannot cover, that good children cannot cover. Listen, God did not design you to live dependent on another human. You know, there are people who feel their joy comes from the people they are in relationship with. You are wasting your time. You will be hurt. Now, this is at the foundation of people being bitter and hurt. But there are people that even think that marriage is two halves coming together to become whole. The concept of a better half is a misnomer. You must be a whole person. God's mathematics is a whole person meeting a whole person becoming one person. Glory to God. So if you are not whole, complete, and have a sense of worth, a sense of value, a sense of completeness, you will always be a burden to the next person. You'll be a burden. Because you'll be looking for what doesn't exist. And according to scripture, our joy should come from within. Because it's from that you influence others. You bless others. It should come from within. Your joy from within. Your fulfillment from within. Your sense of value from within. Your sense of worth from within. Listen. That relationship with the Lord. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is the beginning of the journey. If you know what it means, then it should define your value and your identity. So you can put it this way, living your story begins with a solid sense of identity and value. And that comes from being born again. That comes from colliding with the person of Jesus. That comes from an encounter with the Lord Jesus. A solid sense of identity and value. It comes from being born again, being born from above. Suddenly, God becomes the yardstick. His word becomes the reference point for measuring how valuable you are. Nothing on earth has appreciating value apart from God's word. That means every time you tie your sense of identity and value to something that is material, you are in for a shock. Listen to me. Nothing on earth appreciating value. Nothing. Apart from the word of God and anything anchored to the word. That means to hook your sense of identity, your sense of value to any other thing apart from God's word and the things that are connected to God's word is to be frustrated, live empty, sad, and confused. Your sense of worth and identity cannot come from the car that you drive. That is child's play. Your sense of identity and value cannot come from how much is in your account. No, it can't. It's nice, you should have them, but that you should have them as tools to do bigger things. Are you getting it now? God wants us to be so rich, so prosperous, but you must see those things as tools to do bigger things. To do the things that will bring the real fulfillment of the soul and of your inner being. Your sense of worth cannot come from the school you went to, the course you read in school. No. It comes from God's word. God's word is a true value. And this is why when you let the word of God be deposited in your spirit, you become more valuable. His word is a true value. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Glory to God. All right, so the journey starts with your encounter with the Lord, and that gives you a true sense of value. I will do the introductory part of this series in 5 weeks. I will share 5 points. The first one is the one I just mentioned. Okay, meeting your maker. So you can just write it down so you can follow me. Number one, meeting your maker. Number two, finding your story. Number three, counting the cost. Number four, running your race. Number five, fighting with faith. Did you get that? So we share along these 5 lines in this phase of teaching, of living a story worth telling. Meeting your maker, finding your story, counting your cost, running your race, fighting with faith. Are we here? You still with me? Meeting your maker is an encounter with the Lord Jesus. Finding your story. So let's go to the second part. Finding your story. Somebody say, I'm a pastor. I already know what I want to do with my life. Calm down. There are finer details. Glory to God. Finding your story. There's a basic approach, and there's the approach for finer details. Finding your story. Now, this can be easy. And I'm saying this to encourage those who are still, maybe you are wondering, what is my purpose? Am I even supposed to be in the fashion industry? Am I supposed to be in media? Am I supposed to be a lecturer? Am I supposed to be in the military? Am I supposed to be a pastor? I don't know. And there is this cloud of uncertainty. You are waiting for specifications or specifics as far as your life's purpose is concerned. This message is for you. This first part, rather, is for you. It is not hard. And it must not be spectacular. Amen. And by the way, God doesn't want us guessing. So I'll share those 5 tips with us under that will help illuminate you. You don't have to guess through it. You don't have to just, okay, well, whatever. No, there's a way to go about it. Glory to God. Are you aware that as a new creation, walking in the path that God has created for you is so easy that the prophet says, in this path, even a fool will not miss his way? It's not hard. Let me share 3 basic approaches for you. Very basic approach. Number one, your walk with God. Walk with God. Your daily basic walk with God as a believer. That's where it starts. Reading your Bible. Having a prayer life. Practicing conversational meditation. I said, reading your Bible, having a prayer life. Read your Bible every day. Read your Bible. Many Christians don't read their Bible, and that is sad. Read your Bible. Have interaction with the Word of God every day. Basic interaction. You can decide 2 hours. Sorry, 2 chapters. 3 chapters. 5 chapters. With the consciousness that, look, this is a doorway to meet the living Logos. As I have interaction with the written word, I will have encounter with the living word. You just read your Bible. Make a practice. And a lot of technology has made it so much easier. You have audio Bibles. Play them and pay attention. Read the hard one. Read the one on your phone. Read the hard copy. Just read your Bible. Just sit and say, Lord, speak to me from your word and read your Bible. Listen, that crude old reading your Bible can never be forgotten. That can never be abandoned. Are we together? Because while you interact with the Word of God like that, He will speak to you. Light will shine in your heart. Direction will come. Promptings will come to your heart. Illumination will come. So basic walk with God in reading your Bible. In having a prayer life. Have developed a prayer life. And by the way, prayer life is not built on prayer points. You know those prayer points? Say prayer point number one. Oh Lord Jesus, as I begin to pray, my Father, as I begin to pray, every enemy pursuing me, they fall down and die. Father and I. Father and I. Then in the morning, oh Lord God, as I go out today, prosper my walk in the name of Jesus. Lord, prosper my walk in the name of Jesus. That's prayer points. You don't build a prayer life by prayer points. You build the prayer life based on fellowship and a consciousness of destiny. Are you with me? You build a prayer life on the foundation of fellowship and a sense of destiny, a sense of purpose that, look, there's something about my life that is bigger than where I am. And then you go to prayer with that kind of sense. That's how to build a prayer life. With the consciousness of fellowship. I'm in fellowship with the Father. What did Jesus say? He said, when you pray, say, Our Father. Our Father. Telling us that the fatherhood of God and fellowship with the Father is the foundation of prayer. Glory to God. Are you still with me? So, basic. Living a story worth telling. That's what we're saying. That's what we're teaching. Basic walk with God. Read your Bible. Whether you don't have so much clarity yet about what to do, or you're already in the path, you are clear on what God wants you to do. That interaction, that basic walk with God, will make you more productive and will help fine tune things for you even on the path. Have a prayer life and practice conversational meditation. You know, I tell people, you want to hear God? You want to have a deepened fellowship with the Spirit? Talk to Him. Talk to Him. I call it conversational meditation. Talk to Him on the ground of His Word. Talk to Him. Lord, your Word said this, but why am I not seeing this? Why is this happening? Not from complaining standpoint, but from a position of fellowship, a position of interaction, a position of conversation. That is why I call it conversational meditation. Talk to Him. You may be driving, talk to Him. Talk to Him. And shortly you begin to hear Him talk to you. So I say basic approach, right? What's the first thing I said? Your walk with God. Your walk with God. Number two, a disposition of service. A disposition of service. A disposition, a passion to add value. That's the second thing. A passion to add value. Right where you are. Now you'll find this very, 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 very useful. A lot of times people are, you see, to avoid and have a very lukewarm attitude to service, a very laid back attitude to adding value where you are, and then go up praying and fasting, trying to discover purpose, is a waste of time. A very big waste of time. Be service oriented. Be very, very service and value adding oriented. Purpose is not missing. In the place of service, in the place of adding value, in the place of worship, in the place of your walk with God, purpose will find you. No, look at the lives of the patriarchs. What were they doing? They were busy serving. They were busy adding value. Look at David. David was a shepherd boy who was so committed to his work. His concern was service. Oh, I love what God said about him. He says, I have found my servant, David. I have found my servant, David. That was his resume. That was his qualification. He was a servant. He had an orientation of service. Even in Acts of the Apostles, when the apostle was declaring about David, comparing him, talking about Jesus as the son of David, talking about David, he said, David, after he has served his generation, slept, and was gathered to his fathers, he served his generation. He summarized his life as serving his generation. That was David's concern, service. There's something that needs to be done, I will get it done. Whether I get rewarded or not, whether I get recognized or not, he was there. God found him at the backside of the desert. And the Bible says he took him from following the ewes and the sheep and made him a leader. Can you see that? He took him from following the ewes, the goats and the sheep, and made him a leader over his people. Purpose found them. They were busy serving. They were busy adding value. I tell young people that have the call of God on their lives, the first thing I tell them is find a church after serving. Start serving. Don't try to think up things. Just start serving. Paths will start opening as you serve. I'm not serving according to your own terms. Really serving. Because you see, when you serve according to your own terms, you still wasted your time. You still wasted your time. I found my servant David. I took him from following the goats and the sheep. I made him a captain over my people. Serve. I love David. You know, there's something written in Acts, in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that should bless anyone. David was anointed king in Acts. In 1 Samuel 16, I believe, he was anointed king among his brethren. The door opened for him to go to the palace. He began to serve King Saul as a musician, remember? And then a war broke out. The Philistines came against Israel. And then the army of Israel went into the battleground. And Saul also left the palace and went to the battleground. So David had to return home as the king who was serving in the palace, as the future king, anointed in the midst of his brethren. His father was there. But when he returned home from the palace, you know what he did? He went back to the backside of the desert to serve. Because his orientation was not title. His orientation was service. He went back to the sheep. There were not many, but he went back to them. And amazing, when his father sent him to take food to his brothers at the battleground, the Bible says he carried the sheep and kept them in care of a worthy man. He didn't just run off. He took them as a responsible man. Listen, there are things God looks at. He could have said, I'm a king now. I've been anointed. The Bible says the moment he was anointed, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him from that moment onward. Then plus he had opening in the palace. He was the king's personal musician. That is a bigger boy. He's a bigger boy. But when he returned, service was on his mind. Service. Glory to God. Service was on his mind. Very important. It's critical to the fulfillment of your destiny. You know, I told myself during this break, I was complaining to my pastors that I'm going to retrain all the millennials in this church about the orientation of service. Listen. The shortest cut to greatness is called service. That's the shortest cut. In this kingdom, you know, the mother of Jesus came and told them, the mother of James and John, I believe, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of Thunder, he came to Jesus and said, Master, I came to plead on behalf of my children. You know, to them, it was a political thing. Let one of my sons sit at your right hand, one sit at your left hand. Jesus said, it is not mine to give. And then the other disciples were angry. But this one is trying to lobby for her sons. And Jesus told them, relax, there's no need to worry. God has designed his kingdom in such a way that you must pass through the system. If you want to go up, you must go down. You want to be great, you must serve. Orientation of service. You can never find any of my pastors. Let me paint a picture. I'm coming out of the car. I'm carrying my bag. Maybe trying to struggle and carry my bag. And the person is there. And there are other people. You can never see them stand and say, hey, James, go and carry pastor's bag. You can never see it. The first thing they will do is to carry the bag. There are pastors too. They could just say, okay, collect the bag from pastor. Or does that even make sense to you? Why? The orientation is service. When you are around great people, you are around your leaders, around your parents, around your boss, whoever is above you in life, in the office, in church, biologically, your orientation must be service. Are you listening? In fact, when you are around your friends, your contemporaries, your orientation must be service. Listen, serve your friends. Amen. Don't wait to be the one to be served. Irrespective, whether you have more money or not, it makes no difference. It's just your configuration and your orientation. It must be service. In the place of service, purpose will find you. I told you, purpose is not missing. Hallelujah. So that is a basic approach. Walk with God. Have an orientation of service. You will stumble into things. Follow your heart. Listen to the Holy Spirit. You will stumble into things. You will be led in the path that has been prepared. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Are you blessed this morning? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now for the final details, we can now talk about intense prayer and fasting, and then protracted hearing of God's word. Okay, for final details. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 to 3, I'll just show you that quickly, and then we'll close the first service. Habakkuk, that's basically for final details. Glory to God. Are you learning something this morning? Service. Alright. I will stand upon my watch. So, we said, your basic walk with God, orientation of service, that's passion to add value where you are. Add value where you are. It will make you a valuable person. And number three, following your heart. Under the basic approach, following your heart. We can see that in Proverbs 20:27, following your heart. It says, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, with which he searches the inward parts of the belly. I'll talk more about that in second service. Okay, so to get final details of life, or at certain strategic seasons, you need to make major decisions in the area of your destiny. You need protracted prayer and fasting, and you need protracted exposure to God's word. Are you listening? But the beginning at the basic approach that I give, your walk with God, your orientation of service, and following the illumination of the spirits in your heart. Glory to God. Alright, for the prayer and fasting, look at this. It says, I will stand upon my watch, and I will set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. So you get yourself upon tower to watch. That means you can have seasons of watching. You want specification. Now you know, for example, that you are called to ministry. But are you called to pioneer or called to join an existing work? Is a clarification you can get, you should get. If it's not clear to you, for some it can be clear to you, you don't need serious prayer, you already know. Hallelujah. You already know. Amen. So you may not need serious prayers. There are some of our pastors that have had such knowing. For there's a young man, was it Prince Alfred? I can't remember which of the pastors of which generation of that campus level. At the point he wasn't sure whether, okay, is it glory zone? Is he supposed to do? Maybe he was in his 300 level or so. One day he laid down and then he had a dream. And then I was ministering somewhere, and then he was carrying my jacket. And following me everywhere. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They are fine, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then he woke up. God has spoken. Amen. From that moment, he became serious with the work. Glory to God. God calls you to politics. You know your mountain is governance and politics. You need clarifications. You already know, you may have registered in a political party and doing stuff, but there are seasons where you need clarifications. It will not come by the basic read your Bible, okay, conversational meditation, your basic prayer life. No, you need times of getting to the tower to see what he will say to you. Are you getting it now? To see what he will say to you. And what follows? He said, write the vision. You always respond. God will always respond. Hallelujah. God will always respond. I already knew I was going to be a preacher from probably before I came to school. From 200 level, I knew I was going to do more of preaching and teaching, I was going to function in the fivefold ministry. Let me put it that way. That's from 200 level. But of course, I graduated. I was planning to write primaries, to do residency, to be a radiologist. Amen. Okay, because I felt that may be compatible. At a point, I decided, okay, maybe I should lecture physiology. So I submitted application with the University of Jaws. Okay, so, you know, that kind of, I got me myself to the mountain to hear what he would say. And then God spoke, and this work came forth. Glory to God. Are we here? So, seasons of fastings and prayer. Seasons of fastings and prayer for clarifications and finer details. Rise to your feet. I'm out of time. Woo! Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. First service was quite solemn. That's nice. We'll shout some more in second service. Glory to God. Have you learned something? All right, so let's wrap up and then prepare for second service. Father, we thank you.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.